Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
It's time to pray. And Jesus wants to remind us, like I said, as he's coming to the end of the sermon, I think it's so significant that he comes back around to prayer again. It's the only thing in the sermon that he addresses twice. He comes back to prayer to remind us to be persistent. And the way we'll be persistent is to have confidence that God will hear us. And so keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Sermon on the Mount. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, in a message titled, Seeking First the Kingdom of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Prayer is one of the most important aspects of our lives as the people of God. It's one of the great blessings that we have been given as the people of God. And yet, isn't it true that so often it's one of the most neglected things in our lives as believers? And I will raise my hand to say that I am frequently guilty of neglecting to pray. I frequently find myself all tied in knots over any number of situations, and then I come to my senses and think, well, why don't I pray about this? So Jesus is reminding us. He's reminding us that we should have confidence in prayer, and we need to persevere in prayer. So look what he says. He says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. So asking, seeking, knocking, these are all metaphors for prayer. And then he says, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Now, it's interesting, these three imperatives are present tense, which indicates continuous prayer, persistence in prayer. So here's a way that these verses can be read. They can actually be read this way. And I still to this day can't figure out why there's no translation that has translated them this way, because this is surely what Jesus means. We could read this, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. Jesus is telling us to be persistent in prayer, to persevere in prayer. And, you know, I don't know about you, but do you look around at the world we find ourselves in at this moment and wonder what kind of madness are we living in, and what to do about it? Well, listen, we can pray. That's what we can do about it. We can do other things, but we can't do anything until we do this thing. We can pray. And Jesus said, keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And then the promise for those who keep on praying, they will keep on receiving. Those who keep on seeking will find, keep on finding. Those who keep on knocking, the doors will continue to be open. But it's the perseverance that is what he is impressing on us, to not give up, to not lose heart. Jesus, it says in Luke 18, the very first verse, it says, speaking of Jesus, it says, and he spoke this parable to them, to the end that people should pray and not lose heart. And then Jesus tells a story. He tells a story of a widowed woman who has an adversary who goes to the judge to get a favorable judgment from him. And Jesus tells us something about the judge. He says he's an unrighteous judge. He doesn't really care about anything. But in the end, the judge, he gives the woman what she requested, and Jesus says he did it because of her persistence. She just kept pestering him until he finally said, oh my gosh, get rid of this woman. Whatever she wants, give it to her. Now, the point that Jesus is making is if the unjust judge will finally give in through the persistence of the widow, how much more will your righteous father, who is the righteous judge, how much more will he not avenge those who cry out to him day and night? So again, in this and in that parable, what Jesus is saying now as he comes back around to close this sermon, he's bringing us back to the importance of prayer. And then look what he does in verse 9. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So here, Jesus is comparing and contrasting human fathers who are evil by nature with our good and righteous heavenly Father. And how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Listen, we can't lose heart in prayer. We have to persevere. We have to keep praying. And maybe there's something that you've prayed about for quite some time and you have just become so discouraged because you haven't received an answer and you've given up. Go back and pick it up again and continue to pray until you get an answer. And guess what? The answer might be no. It might be, but it's an answer. I think we should pray about things until we get an answer. And if the answer is no, then we know that we can. Okay, Paul the Apostle, he talks about his own experience. He talks about having this thorn of the flesh, this messenger of Satan that buffets him. He says, and I sought the Lord three times. And I think he means there were three intense seasons of prayer about this. And the Lord said, no. That's basically it. Paul is seeking the Lord. I've got this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan. I want you to take this away from me. And the Lord says, no. And Paul says, okay. And then the Lord tells him why. But so he gets the answer. It's not the answer he wanted, but he got the answer. And then he knew how to move forward from there. So for us, as we're praying about things, we pray till we get an answer. And thankfully, sometimes the answer is yes. It's the very thing that we have been praying for is going to happen. But it rarely happens in our time frame. So that's why we need to persevere. That's why we need to keep going. Some people say, well, you know, I've been praying for this for so long. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a spouse. And you think, what's the use? I've been praying so long and nothing really changes. Well, has the Lord told you to stop praying? If he hasn't, then just keep praying. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. That's what Jesus said to do. And honestly, for me, I can't tell you how many times this passage has come back to renew me in prayer when I have been discouraged and given up. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Now, we're going to come back to this in the close because Jesus here says, you know, you being evil, give good gifts. Your Father in heaven knows how to give good things to those who ask him. But in Luke, Jesus says something a little bit different that is going to be very applicable to us as we finish today. But let's move on to the final statement here in this sermon. So remember, this is the instructional aspect that began, you know, kind of with the Beatitudes, but more specifically, just shortly after them. But now Jesus is bringing his teaching to a conclusion. And so verse 12, says in our NIVs, so in everything. But another translation, and maybe an easier one, is therefore. So the word so in everything can be translated and are translated in some other versions as therefore. And as a general rule, when you find the words therefore in a text that you're reading in the Bible, pause and ask the question, okay, what therefore what? See, because therefore is connecting what's about to come with what has preceded. So now Jesus is going to say something that is based on what he has previously said. Now here's the tricky thing in this particular instance. The tricky thing here is that the therefore, although mostly will refer to the immediate things that preceded it, in this case, it's bigger than that. So here, the therefore is referring not simply to the judging issue or the prayer issue, because when you look at that, it doesn't make a ton of sense. What it's referring to is all that Jesus has been saying up to this point. And then he's going to summarize everything that he said. So the Bible scholar and commentator R.T. France, he put it like this. He said, "The specific ethical teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, therefore, comes to its climax in this verse. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." So with that, he says, the whole sermon comes to a climax. Therefore, as I'm saying, links the verse not with the immediately preceding verses, but with the whole teaching of the sermon so far, as it relates to our attitudes toward other people, and the rule which follows presents in a nutshell the greater righteousness, the distinctive behavior and attitude expected of the disciples. So the greater righteousness is summed up in this: do to others as you would have them do to you. So this is a summary of all of that. Now, how many of you have heard people refer to the golden rule? You heard that? This is the golden rule. When people say, no, I don't believe in that stuff. I just live by the golden rule. This is the golden rule. This is what they're talking about. Why is it called the golden rule? Well, it's interesting. It's called the golden rule because in the 3rd century, the Roman Emperor Alexander Severus reputedly had it written in gold upon his wall. It's kind of fascinating. I've been doing a deep dive into Roman history, and I feel like I've been living in, a whole nother universe. But so it was interesting to look a little bit into this. So this is a 3rd century Roman Empire emperor. So this is in the mid-200s. And this particular emperor was, although he wasn't necessarily a Christian, he was very impressed by Jesus and by the teaching of Jesus. And he definitely had this statement of Jesus, do to others as you would have them do to you. He definitely had this written on his wall. Whether it was written in gold or not, that's what is not certain. But he definitely wrote it. Now, it's called the golden rule because if we actually lived by it, it would change everything. Now, this rule is uniquely Jesus's teaching. Now, some people will say, oh no, Jesus just borrowed from other people and stuff because this rule appears before Jesus. It doesn't. What appears before the time of Jesus, and even among some of the religious teachers of the day, was the negative version of the rule. Even Aristotle taught this, and even some of the Far Eastern teachers taught, do not do to others what you yourself dislike. So they had the negative version of it. Jesus is the one who takes and flips it around and makes it positive. So you are the one who is now initiating the good. So whatever you want others to do to you, do to them. Now just think if tomorrow morning, everybody on the planet woke up and said, you know what? I'm going to live by the golden rule. Even if we failed a lot of times, do you know how much better off the world would be if people lived this way? If I just went out daily thinking, okay, how do I want to be treated? How do I want people to talk to me? How do I want people to respond to me? How do I want people to respect me? How do I want people to treat me? The world would change overnight. Oftentimes people look at the world and what a mess the world's in and they blame it on God. If there's a God, why this and that? If there's a loving God, then how come these things happen? The simple answer is because people don't obey God. If the human race just said, the golden rule is amazing, we're going to apply that, the world would change overnight. So, as a general principle to guide us in specific ethical decisions, the golden rule, this is R.T. France again, has not been bettered. I love that. Nobody's been able to improve on this. Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. No philosopher, no one's ever come along and said, hey, I got a better, something better than that. In the positive form propounded by Jesus, it makes a very far-reaching demand for unselfish love in action. Well, that's what we're talking about. Unselfish love in action. And so I think that this is so, again, this is another thing that is so important in the moment that we find ourselves in. How do we affect change in the world? Is there any hope that the madness that we see unfolding around us and the hatred, you know, hatred cannot forever be contained in words. Hatred will eventually become actions. And we're starting to see that that is happening in our society. We're seeing people that are very hateful. And they're very self-righteously hateful. They think it's their responsibility to do justice, to be hateful of things that they see as evils in our society. And so they want to eradicate this. And we're living in a time now, you know, where sometimes there's a comparison that we make between like the Jesus People Revolution period of the late 60s and early 70s and where we're at today. But I think a stark difference is that in those days, there was sort of a cry for love. Today, there's a cry for bloodshed. Now, that's happened in other places at other times. And it was happening at the same time in the 60s in other places. They had already gone to the bloodshed point. But man, this is the world that we are entering into, it seems. How do we navigate it? What do we do? Well, Jesus taught us, and he summed it up right here. Everything he's taught us in this sermon, he sums it up with do to others as you would have them to do to you. This is the law and the prophets. As one Bible commentator said, do to others as you would have them do to you. This is most of what the Bible teaches. This is most of what the Bible teaches. It just keeps coming back around to this. And so, God help us. You know, when I look at some of the angry people in our culture today, and many of them are very young, and they're convinced of one thing or the other. And although we cannot control the world, obviously, what we can do is we can pray for the world, that the world will come under conviction and then turn their hearts to Jesus. We can do that, and we can do this. We can do to others as we would have them do to us. And in doing that, we fulfill the law and the prophets. But as I said, I wanted to circle back around and close with the prayer thing. It's time to pray. And Jesus wants to remind us, like I said, as he's coming to the end of the sermon, I think it's so significant that he comes back around to prayer again. It's the only thing in the sermon that he addresses twice. He comes back to prayer to remind us to be persistent. And the way we'll be persistent is to have confidence that God will hear us. And so keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And the last thing that I want to say is, remember I told you that Luke has a similar message as we call the Sermon on the Mount. Some people have looked at Luke's version and called it the Sermon on the Plain. It's a little bit different, but similar. And of course, Jesus would have taught this over and over again. He would have said different things in different locations. That's another topic. But in Luke's gospel, when Luke records this, at the very end, he says, "Ask, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking." And then he says, Matthew says, to give good gifts to those who ask. Luke says, to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And my friends, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The Church of Jesus Christ today needs the empowering and the filling of the Holy Spirit. So what are we to do? Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It's way past time to settle for mediocrity as a Christian. If you're just living sort of a blasé Christian life and, you know, you taking care of your spiritual needs when it's convenient, and otherwise you're just busy with other things, that time is over. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking? You know what that shows? Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It shows I'm serious. I want this. I don't want to just sit on the sidelines. I want to be in the game. And God help us to get in the game. Like Jesus got in the game when he was nailed to the cross.
Join Pastor Brian in the studio as he shares about this month's resource from Back to Basics.
Hi, Pastor Brian here, and I want to recommend a book by my friend Peter J. Williams. The book is called The Surprising Genius of Jesus. And on the back of the book, it says this: many believers would describe Christ as kind, loving, strong, or powerful. Few would first think of the word genius. When studied in detail, however, Jesus' teaching and interactions with others reveal a combination of profound wisdom, verbal dexterity, simplicity, and creativity. This is indeed a great book, and I think Peter is right. We don't normally think of Jesus in those terms, but we actually ought to. And so this is an excellent little book. It's a fairly easy read, and I think you will appreciate it greatly and walk away from it with a greater appreciation for the brilliance of Jesus. And so, The Surprising Genius of Jesus by Peter J. Williams.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About the Greatest Teacher by Peter J. Williams. You can order the book The Surprising Genius of Jesus by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, The Surprising Genius of Jesus by Peter J. Williams, to help you experience God's grace that has the power to transform anyone. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Sermon on the Mount. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.